The Money Show. Small business.
So let's start with an unusually duff sounding question, but I think it's an important question to ask as we talk about the fourth industrial revolution and we talk about how you apply it to small business. What is the fourth industrial revolution, Pavla? Small words from your perspective that we're going to be talking about this evening.
Well, perhaps we shouldn't even be talking about it because, quite honestly, one of the key fundamental things you need for it, Bruce, to work
is electricity.
Is reliable electricity. But in any event, so there are a couple of things around. It's becoming a very consistent buzzword at the moment. And there are lots of divergent views on it. And I think a lot of people bandy the word around without really understanding it. It's not that complicated to understand, in fact. And in fact, it's very, very, very simple. And it's simple enough for you to need to understand it for fear that if you don't, you will pay a massive price if you don't be part of it, if you're not part of it in your business. So in truth, the first thing is there are kind of seven elements to it in terms of what is it and how do you embrace it in your business. The first is it's about technology. It's about enabling parts of your business, if not the complete business, using technology. And technology's got three elements to it. It's got hardware, it's got software, and it's got some sort of architecture that blends these two things to work together. So for example, in its simplest form, you go to a door of an office and it says, hold your hand up to the blue light to release the lock. That is technology enabled through a system. Very simple. You've got physical locks. You've got a physical door. You've got a device that can sense your hand close by. You've got software that connects it to. It issues the instruction. The door opens. The door closes. So it's technology made up of hardware and software in a system that allows them to work together to perform an activity in the business.
Okay. So it's a technology enablement. It then requires this thing of connectivity.
Yes.
And in South Africa, we've got some of the most expensive broadband in the world. And we don't have great connectivity. I mean, we've got quite good 4G, but we're a long way from ubiquitous 5G.
Well, we are a long way. And, you know, I look at this whole debacle around Eskom still. And I draw myself back to especially the last State of the Nation address. And I personally was very excited about this idea of a digital city because it's not an impossibility. If a deal was done with the right partners in order to build it, and it was built on the back of a 5G network, Bruce, it would leapfrog South Africa way ahead, for example, of the United States, most of Europe. And all of a sudden, we have the opportunity to catch up. The connectivity is absolutely key because if you apply the fourth industrial revolution through your business, and let's say you're in the mining sector where you need connectivity between devices organized through software in a system deep down under the ground, or you're flying very high in aeroplanes and you need to be able to connect and transmit data back and down based on devices on the aeroplane or underground or in your geyser or wherever it may be, the connectivity is critical. So the connectivity you've spoken about still is where it is because for how long now have we been patiently waiting for a decision to be taken on extending and opening up the broadband on our terrestrial network? And still, there's no action there. So until that happens, we are going to be stalled in our ambitions to be part of the fourth industrial revolution.
I mean, government talks about the fourth industrial revolution. I've been to a couple of presentations on this. I've been to a couple of discussions on this. And it's a case of we'll just get the fourth industrial revolution to do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's no understanding, honestly.
Oh, hold on. There is the technology which enables humans to act better and more effectively. That's what the technology doesn't do the work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do the work at all. It needs to be all connected together and it needs to have absolutely consistent, seamless connectivity. You know, this morning I was at a conference and someone turned around and said, oh, as South Africans, we shouldn't be annoyed if we have load shedding for 4 hours. 4 hours in a complete day is really not a big deal if you plan around it. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson of Eskom, telling us that we will have a predictable load shedding schedule that we can rely on. The fact of the matter is, if your business is running on connectivity and load shedding occurs, for that period of 4 hours, your entire process of business is disrupted. So we need connectivity.
We absolutely need connectivity. The scale, when it comes to small businesses and our ability to use this technology of the fourth industrial revolution, whether it be the artificial intelligence, whether it be the high-speed broadband networks, the scale that's got to be present within an economy for us to operate off the back of it, I suppose, is what's important.
Well, you know, yes and no, because a lot of people think that technology drives scale. And yet technology should be in response to a business that has been built to scale. There's a very big difference between the two because technology does not make it happen. And I'll give you a great example. Very recently, I think it was this week sometime, I spoke with a business owner. They run a 65, 70 million rand business. They're involved in the food services industry. And he turned around and he said to me, you know, we are pushing out, I don't remember the exact number, 10,000 units a day. If I can just get the funding to acquire these two new pieces of machinery, I'll be able to raise it to 20,000 units a day. And I said, fine, because he's optimized the use of the current machinery. It makes sense to grow because everyone else is stalling. So if you actually have a growth mindset, you're going to take market share. Good decision, good investment. Then I said to him, so you're producing 20,000 units a day. What does that give you? He says, that gives me scale. And then I said to him, how does your marketing correlate back to it? How are you scaling your marketing? How are you scaling your sales force? How are you scaling everything else around
it? Oh, Pablo, stop getting stuck in the detail. For goodness sake, the guy's producing 20,000 things.
He wants to get it to 20,000 things. So it's well and good to embrace all this technology to introduce scale into a business, but it mustn't be done outside of the commercial effort of scale.
Pablo Fertitti is from Auric Business Accelerator. We're talking fourth industrial revolution, how you can better use wonderful and wondrous technologies to your advantage to grow your business and how you do it in a distinctly human and logical way. More in a moment. Pablo Fertitti is the managing director at Auric Business Accelerator. He's an author. Did we mention he's an author? Have you been like doing what Max Dupree used to do? And that is you go into a bookshop and you just like quietly move your books to the front.
No, I haven't done that.
You should do
that. Did
he do that? Yeah, he mentioned to me once. I think it was him. Otherwise, it just defamed him. Sorry, Max. but I think he said that. He said as a younger author, he would go like there'd be a pile of books and he'd just quietly just stack his books slightly more prominently. You should learn so much. Now, the idea of certainty and predictability in anything, I mean, it's not just fourth industrial revolution. It's just when you wake up tomorrow, what are the odds of the fact that somebody hasn't broken into your factory and pulled out all the wiring or whatever the case might be? Certainty and predictability in an economy is critical for anybody who wants to invest money into that economy.
Completely. And it's absolutely critical for you as a business owner because, Bruce, so the fourth industrial revolution applies 100% to the manufacturing environment. It applies 100% to the service environment and how you create technology to enable capacity, scale, predictability, and certainty through this process is vital. Because if I know that I can, for example, remove extensive human error, remove uncertainty around quality of product, around reliability of service, around consistency of delivery and fulfillment, that means I can then start concentrating all my efforts on growth.
Yeah.
Because if I know that I've got a platform to deliver this on a consistent basis, it will provide me with growth. And the process of enabling activity through technology certainly brings that on board. It might not be the entire business, but the more of it you have racking and stacking in the business, connected together in this organized system, it produces that opportunity for you.
Specialization in a world, I know it's your favorite thing.
Because it's impossible to do without specializing.
But what happens if people don't want my specialized product? I need to have like backup products. I need to have plan B, C, D, and E as I go along.
You know, it's been fascinating. It's been fascinating because for the last 5 years that we've been struggling in our economy in South Africa, the debate of, well, I need to diversify and therefore I'm going to try and be all things to all people. Mostly what I've seen when I reflect back and I look over the last 5 years, Bruce, those businesses have landed up being nothing to anybody. Here's the thing. If you're going to make the investment in technology, it is hellishly expensive.
Yeah.
To create software, to identify the devices, to identify the to understand what you want to automate in your business means you will then get a consistent, predictable result. Now, if you're trying to be all things to all people, meaning that the people you serve all want different things. How do you create consistency in the first instance? So without that specialization, beyond the product, understanding who you serve and how they want to be served, it's impossible to bring technology to the fore.
I suppose it's again, if you go back to the first industrial revolution, they would have tooled machines and they would have set up factories to produce widgets. And if you then try to retool your machines, you lost days of production. And in the same sort of way, the modern manufacturing space is simply just a far more version of an industrial revolution factory.
Yeah, completely. You know, scale comes at a real, real cost. Scale comes at the cost of narrowing what you serve and who you serve and how you serve them.
But you can only do it. I disagree with this, but I think I disagree with myself. If you've got the right business environment, I don't know if there's ever a right business environment. You've got to just have the right solution in whatever business environment.
Yeah, so perhaps there's a better business environment. And it's, you know, I certainly don't want to end the show on a dampened view. But here's the thing. We need all the functions of government to work. And what that means is we need legislation that's legible, understandable, implementable, and consistent, because this process of investing in the fourth industrial revolution takes an enormous amount of investment. And I'll give you a really good example. If you look at how we almost got way ahead of the rest of the world in renewable energy, think back 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Nearly.
We were almost market leaders. We certainly were market leaders in cell phone technology in the cell phone sector. And then what happens is that legislation changes, it changes again, it changes again, and it prevents any consistency of application and deepening of understanding. Until we have an environment where people are comfortable to make medium-term investments, raising the funding that's needed to support the digitization of a business becomes very, very difficult. We need a good, solid, stable, boring business environment. That's the answer to bring on the fourth industrial revolution.
We need some boredom.
Yeah, we need some boredom.
Jeez, I miss boredom. And I suppose, with all of this, and let's end up on a high if we can, no matter what it is that you're planning, no matter what it is, it's never going to be the right time. One thing I've learned from speaking to countless founders of businesses, there is never a right time. In retrospect, sometimes you got lucky, but there's never a right, you don't know that now is the right time to start something.
No, there is a right time, and that's right now. Okay. It's right now. It's right now. Because, quite honestly,
load shedding to finish.
But think of the simplest form. The simplest form. And you will be amazed at how many businesses out there, for example, Bruce, still don't have a website or a functioning website. It is your shopfront. By using the technology available on the internet, technology available in programming software, create the website. It's the shop front end. Already, what have you gone and done? You've used technology to present your business into the world without having to have found a store in a bad location with a bad landlord mostly. That's not going to be very supportive if you're a small independent business. So start with that. Start, for example, by jacking up and taking seriously your LinkedIn profile. It's the face that you present to the world around who you are, what you stand for, and your professional approach to business. Get those two things right, and you've already become a participant in the fourth industrial revolution by automating your shopfront and a path that customers can follow to find you.
And it didn't even need to cost you anything.
Nothing.
Pablo Fertitti is from Auric Business Accelerator.